What's going on, guys? Tucker Bierman here, one of the owners and operator of Refined Tile and Design, coming to you on the Refining Exchange podcast. We're starting a new series called Under the Surface, where we talk to local business owners, operators, entrepreneurs in Wilmington, North Carolina, specifically in the residential trades. So we're excited to bring to you a couple of these stories, a couple of these business owners that service the area and that we love to get to work with. What's going on, guys? We're here with Sarah Scott from the Sarah Scott Design Team. Sarah, thank you for coming out and getting to have a conversation. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun. So we've gotten to work with Sarah a bunch over the past couple of years. She's been super loyal to us at both Sellers and Refined Tile. Yeah. So we've appreciated that. Yeah. Gotten to be a part of some fun projects together. So wanted to bring you out and just kind of talk to you about, you know, starting Sarah Scott Design, what some of that's looked like, and then some of the struggles, some of the good things that have come with it too. So why don't you just kind of start the audience off with just an introduction, your background, pre-Sarah Scott Design.
Okay, so I would say it started like in a baby stage. I was really young and knew I wanted to do design. My dad's an architect, and I would grow up, I mean, I feel like a lot of people say this, but as a girl, like rearranging my room and doing all the things. So I knew like I was design geared, I guess, at that point. But I went to school, you know, I went off to college and I went to state and I was, you know, kind of bouncing around. I did communications, political science, which where was I?
The normal college journey,
yeah,
right?
You're like, you don't know what you're going to do. And then I ended up in arts applications, and I remember it was my junior year, so I'm on year three at state, if you can imagine. You know, our parents are pouring all of the money into that. And I remember I called my mom one morning out of the blue and was like, I want to do interior design. I'm gonna come home, because state didn't have that. It was like, you're in school design, you know, you're doing architecture or that's it. And I was like, that's not, so I could graduate and get that and then still have to go to school or what. Anyway, so I packed everything up. This is how I live my life, though. I'm super rich. Like, I just take the chance. So I packed up and moved home, and we started touring schools for interior design, and that was that. So I got my degree actually here in Wilmington, and started my design, you know, career after that.
So you went to Cape Fear Design, right?
Yep. The Cape Fear, Community College. So I got my associate's there. Which it was, I mean, it's such like a fast track program because it's 2.5 years. But I mean, it was amazing. It's intense, but it's like one of the top schools for interior design. So it was cool that it was here in Wilmington. And that kind of planted, you know, then I met my husband through that. So it's crazy to look back, like all the things that you thought were random or weird or spontaneous. It was, such a path for me.
There's a purpose with all of that for sure.
Yeah.
So then that took you, once you guys graduated, did you get married and then you moved to Charlotte?
Yeah, we moved to Charlotte. And my husband went to school here, so he always says we drank the Kool-Aid and then we came, you know, we're like, okay, we want to raise our kids in Wilmington. So we moved back to Wilmington. But while I was in Charlotte, I worked for an interior designer for like 2 years. And God, I learned so much from her. It's something I still think about today, just the stuff they don't teach you in school, but we were able to learn in the field. And I don't know, I was kind of like, God, not that I was like confident I got this, but I was like, I could do this for myself. Like, I'm ready to. Anyway, so she taught me a ton, and then it was after I got pregnant with our first, I was like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to take a chance again, you know? So I definitely feel like my story has been about taking chances. And so I did that. I started in my house with a little baby, and it was hard.
Why not do both at once, right?
It was hard.
Or all three things: move, have a kid, and start a business.
It was a lot, but I was like, I have nothing to lose. I'm like, what? I don't know. I mean, you have to take a chance. So I did. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of after hours, if you can imagine, like get the child to sleep. And that's not how we live our life now. Yeah. There's boundaries, but I think in the beginning, it's just, a lot of like grinding. So that's what it looked like. And then, you know, I eventually got my studio. I've had it for 3 years now. And I think that was a pivotal time of like getting out of the house, getting out of that workplace of like distraction.
Some boundaries.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, that was a huge, I mean, that was a pivotal term for our company is we felt, I don't know, it was just like a, that was a moment for us is to have your own space and to really take off from there. So,
can I pull you back a little bit? When you were in Charlotte and you talked about, you learned a lot outside of the just the design portion from the company you worked with. What were some of the business things that you learned from your mentor or the ladies?
Well, honestly, I learned a lot from her, but also like what not to do. Like, I'd be like, man, this is chaotic, or like her books are crazy, or like I would work with her accountant a lot one-on-one because it was very small business and I don't know, just like the number side of things.
So like billing and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's like, they don't teach you that in school, but it was cool, like I said, to kind of see what we didn't want to do and what did work. I mean, there's still things that I do today with like POs that I learned from her and just, you know, I'm very like pen to paper person. Like I'm going to do it the old school way. I mean, I was like faxing orders in when I worked for her.
Nice,
so we learned a lot on the business side, I guess.
Yeah.
On that. That way, but
that's cool. Yeah, I think that's some of, obviously I didn't go through interior design school per se. I went to through business school, but that was one of the things, like even in business school, it's hard. I don't think maybe schooling in general does a good job of like, hey, once you guys start invoicing and what are the money, what's the money need to look like?
Right.
You know, what are the, you know,
or like all the spread, I mean, you know, like learning now spreadsheets and planning and like what's coming up, what can just, all that stuff. I mean, as a business owner, you don't, hard to teach that. You got to kind of dive in and figure out what works for you.
Then you tailor it to your business and you get those templates and stuff that you can kind of build your business around.
Right. So. And they evolve too. I think that's the biggest thing is I have been in a season of like accepting involvement. Like I'm not, I'm like, oh, we're changing again. But, and I get frustrated, but I'm like, that's a good thing. Like we're seeing what has worked and like tailoring it to the next step, like how can we grow and how can we do this better? And so we're constantly like, let's tweak this, you know.
Well, I think that's a, maybe you can speak to this too from your standpoint, but like going from entrepreneur to like business owner, obviously you're both, but like once you hired your team, you know, you're a visionary. I can tell that you're very expressive and you make decisions quickly.
Was
part of what you told me. And in that I see, how do you balance that from overwhelming the team?
Oh, I do overwhelm our team.
Or are you okay with overwhelming them?
We do Monday morning meetings. So we have a meeting every week and it's like a round table. And yeah, to say that maybe they don't come in nervous every time, I'm not sure. But they,
which you've got a great team, by the way.
We Jennings do have and a Allie, great right? team. Yeah, Jennings, Allie, and then Emily is new.
Okay.
I think you've met her. But so she started as an intern. So we have... our core group of girls, and but they know that I'm gonna be like, let's try this, let's, because it's I mean, I'm constantly being like I said, how can we do this better? What worked for us in this past project? And how can we, you know, I don't know, I feel like they have accepted that I'm gonna kind of always throw things out there, but I mean, I have to say, like, it hadn't done us wrong. Like, I mean, I feel like taking chances, that's just what our business has done. And so until we start seeing kickbacks of me being, you know, I'm like, it's working, I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
I think outside looking in, I think one, you've got a great team.
Yeah.
And maybe you can kind of speak to that too, like hiring the right people, but that's kind of support you as a visionary. But then also, I think it is important you recognize the clients and what they want.
Yeah.
And you know as well as anybody, it's like the clients that we're starting to get to work with, they all want something unique and different.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, we're posting stuff on social, you're posting stuff on social and it's inspiration, but the next client wants unique
something
and different.
Totally, and every project is, I mean, it's very own. That's my job, I think, and that's what, you know, we get brought onto a project and get paid to do is to create that uniqueness. We don't want to ever like duplicate. And that's a big thing for us. And I think, but I've also got to have the space to be creative. And well, that takes me, I was going to say, it takes me into like processes. Like you've got to have processes in place so that they can do their job well and I can be the creative to bring these people, you know, that unique design, because there's so much that happens behind the scenes of a company that's not like my business is like 20% design and 80% business.
Yeah.
So, you know, having the right team that can run all the things that's not creative.
Do you guys
important.
Have a studio too? Can people come into your studio and like, do you guys sell fabrics or anything like that?
It's not like a retail space, but we have, I mean, that's where we house all of our presentations and our meetings. And meet with like our subs and stuff. We can have like cabinetry meetings or architectural meetings there. Yeah. But it's not a place where we're like, come in and buy this sofa off the floor.
I gotcha.
I don't know. Maybe one day we do retail, but
it's a whole different beast.
I know. We're not ready for that right now.
Talk to me a little bit about SSD's, you know, processes and some of the things that I know you take, you know, you take a lot of pride in.
Yeah.
Some of the processes that you've built and the client experience that you guys have created.
Yes. So that is so important to us. I know I talked about like Monday morning meetings. We do those every week. And truly a lot of that is like processes. We're, you know, we wrapped a job and we're like, what didn't work? What's feedback? How can we do this better? And a lot of like what you said, it's the client experience. We spend so much time focused on that. We're like, when should gifts go out? When are their birthdays? When they sign on, what are we going to do? I mean, like we pour so much into like, this is an elevated experience that we have to give them. And so what does that look like, on the receiving end? And, you know, that may sound stupid to some people because we're an interior design firm, but like it's an all-encompassing experience that we want to create. And that stems from like good processes in place, you know, making sure that each time you're doing the same thing, no matter who the client is, that way your team, they know what to expect. They know how to do it well. We can like perfect those processes and we're not just like, oh, so-and-so reached out. How do you want me to respond? You know, how do you want me to handle that situation? It's like, there's no questions. Mm-hmm. This is the email template. This is what goes out, the template that goes out. We, you know, schedule a call. We have these in place to be able to know, like, that's exactly what happens next. And, you know, it creates also opportunity for me to not be there and know that it's going to be handled right and in the same way every time. So processes are huge for
us. Yes, I love that. Well, I think you hit on two really big things, which is consistency in the client experience and then consistency in your employees' experience.
Yes.
I found both of, you know, we've been working on building processes too, being a younger company. And it's like, I have, you know, my employees that are just as, you know, it may be just as big of a headache as the clients.
Yeah.
If something, you know, happens or something goes wrong. And it's like, as long as we have the processes in place, they can see that it worked last time, then they're good.
Or what, or how to like problem solve.
Yeah.
You know, like if an issue comes up on site and I'm not there, it's like, it's understanding this is how we handle that. Mm-hmm. We've handled it in the past like that. And so it's a no-brainer kind of thing. Like, this is what we'll do next. Or, it's setting your team up for success. I mean, and that's a lot of, you know, business owning is figuring out the back end of everything and how you as a business owner want that handled. It's now in our hands, right? Yeah. We're not working for, like, the CEO of Microsoft. Like, we can make this experience what we want it. And that's what's so like cool for me. That's why I think we really handle our clients with care. Cause it's like, that's how I would handle you if you were my friend.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. We just take a lot of pride in like how we communicate with our clients and how we, dive into their like, I guess, personal journey, you know, like knowing their dog's name or if their dog died, like just, I don't know, that goes such a long way to like know these little things and become a part of their family and not just like they're not just paying you
to do a
get
service.
The job done.
Yeah. Welcome to Refined Tile and Design, where every step of your design journey is guided by our commitment to excellence. At Refined Tile and Design, it's not just about tile and surfaces. It's about crafting your dream space. With our one showroom, one designer, one experience approach, your vision becomes our mission. But we're more than just a showroom. Refined is the intersection where design meets craftsmanship. We connect our clients with trusted industry partners that share our dedication to quality and craftsmanship. Say goodbye to the ordinary. Our personalized client experience puts the power of design in your hands. We provide innovative processes and personalized guidance every step of the way. Behind every exceptional design is a team of passionate and curious individuals. At Refine, creativity knows no bounds. Our team's mission is to bring your creativity to life. When it comes to selection, expect nothing but the best. Our showroom is a masterpiece in itself, curated with the latest trends and finest materials to inspire your imagination. One showroom, one designer, one experience. Discover the difference at Refine Tile and Design, where your dream space begins. What, and you kind of spoke to this about, and we won't get there yet, but with the work-life balance, with the family and stuff.
Yeah.
But before we get there, what, and I've had this conversation with other designers, what do you do to get yourself in a very creative space? You know, you go to the beach, you go, you know what I mean? You go in a quiet room. Like, where do you feel like you're most creative?
That's a great question. It's definitely like, I feel like I just have to create space, but in my studio, I'm the most creative, but it's going in there fresh and clear-headed and not thinking about, you know, the books this month or not thinking about the project management side of a renovation. Like, I can get very caught up in the details and the managing of the people that it's hard to find space to be creative. So I think it's in my studio, but it's when I'm clear-headed. I mean, I've got to come in there like wanting to create and not wanting to run a business, because that's, you know, that could take, that's a whole full-time job is to run it. So, I would say in our own studio. I mean, it's like colorful and all the fabrics, and the girls allow me to, you know, have time. They're doing their thing, but I can dive into my world of
So you don't have like a do not disturb sign or anything
like that? I could like walk around with it on my head. Yeah. And I always joke, I'm like, I'm going to put headphones in, and I'm not trying to be like a...
You have to like announce it to them?
Yeah, I'm like, just don't talk to me for a little bit. But
one of my business mentors, he was like, get a legal pad. Yes. Don't bring your computer. Don't bring anything else, which my creative works a little bit different than yours. But and go to a coffee shop, like get off-site. And that way you're kind of away from...
See, that's funny. And I see that, like, as a business owner that's not, like, I'm very, like, I got to touch the fabric. I mean, that's the thing, is that I'm like, they're like, well, work from home, you know, if you're not feeling well this week or, like, whatever it may be. And I'm like, that just, I can't, I've got to be in there. Like, I've got to be flipping the fabrics. And, so, that, while it sounds great, it's like, I physically, I can't check out and go to a studio or a coffee shop because...
For the record, I haven't done it yet, so I'm struggling with the same thing, but that's, you
know. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, and our team's supportive, too. They're like, you need to go do this, and I'm
like,
it is hard to step away, though. What was one of the challenges that you faced going from having the studio in your home to having the studio and having a team surrounding you? Challenges and or if you learn what you learned.
It's hard to think about like challenges. It's more like the blessing and like what it brought. I feel like it opened up so many doors and opportunities, and it was crazy because it's not like, okay, on this day you went from working from home to a studio, and like there wasn't this. It was just I think it built confidence. So I think it wasn't like what were the hard things. It was like the good things were it. Poured so much into me. Like, I think it gave me a lot of confidence just to have my name on the door, I guess you would say. And I feel like we really started like rolling at that point. We hired our second person. You know, Allie has been with me from day one, so almost 5 years of living in Wilmington. And then, you know, we started hiring more. We started getting bigger projects, and everything just started growing at that point. So, I mean, was it because I had a physical space? I don't know. But I think the confidence that that brought just truly opened up. I mean, it created new relationships. We had, you know, vendors now stopping by my studio versus sending stuff in the mail. And there's no, there's no faith. There's no interaction. And I don't know. It's hard to, It's just crazy how it, like,
I love that. I mean, you're looking, I can remember the beginning of our business too, where you were, you know, I was doing all of the things, front of the house, back of the house, in the house, whatever. And, like, I think once you start hiring people and seeing your business scale, which I think you're getting at, it's like, it is start to, you know, feel a little, you start to enjoy the process a little bit more when you're seeing, like, you know, probably Jennings going out to a job site and working with a client and you didn't even have to be involved.
Right.
You know, seeing some of the people that you trained start to have success.
Blossom.
Our little babies. There you go.
I know, that's true. It is.
See, and your
that's
brand
a cool,
grow.
That's a cool, yeah, it's like a proud moment. And like I said, it's all about the confidence, and you gain confidence to be like, okay, or maybe you had this cool idea to start this thing and now you actually have time to do that because you see that your team is like pulling the load. And I don't know. We're just, I'm super thankful. We have a great That's people awesome. To do that. So
you do. What, going forward, what are some big like opportunities for you guys to like scale the business, or do you like where you're at, from a size standpoint?
That's a great question. That was, I'm kind of, blindsided by that one. Just kidding.
I know you talked about referrals and relationships.
Yeah. Where we're at in this stage of life, clearly it's been a lot going through like chemo and radiation's coming up. And I'm at a point in my life where, like, am I looking to scale right now? For sure not. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy with where our company is, because I think it's also put into perspective, like, what is important right now, or just in, you know, ever. And while I love my company and we give 110 while we're there, I think it's also been like, okay, you can't give 110 when you're home or when you're off the clock. Like, there are other things in this life that we have to, you know, pour into. And so that's kind of where I'm at, is I'm not looking to scale at this point. Because we have such a good, we're in such a good rhythm, and I've got to pour into my family and, you know, other things too. So, I mean, I would always I'm such a big advocate now for like business owners and not giving themselves away, like not giving everything, every part of you to that company. Like, it's important, but there's so many things that are important, you know, like, I don't know. So it's been an eye-opening season for me,
Well, I know that's hard, but in a lot of ways that's really good too.
Yeah.
It does start to open you up to other things.
It's been a perspective shift for sure.
I think again, as you've grown your team, I think that's the other blessing in, you know, having the team that you can step away for health reasons, or you can step away to help with family. And then you're also a big proponent of, you know, I see you on Instagram. Like, if you guys step away at 3 o'clock on a Friday to all go out
as a
team,
okay. It's okay. It's like,
and you can have fun with that.
Man, you have to live your life. And I think creating an environment, while yes, we are, I mean, it's intense. It's interior design. This industry is intense. It's very technical. It's very detail oriented.
Things change a lot.
Change orders and like staying on top of subs, and it's super intense, but you've got to find those pockets of like funny and joy. And I don't know, we're big about that. If I'm like not feeling it one day, they know that I'll be like, let's go get lunch and maybe a margarita, because I mean, we need to all take a breath, you know, like it's just not, at the end of the day, it's not worth what we get so wound up about because. But having the right people in play, like you said, when you face stuff like this, that you know, I didn't plan to get sick, but man, having that team that I can be out on treatment and they can carry me, we don't miss a beat because we have processes in place and I trust them. And, you know, our clients aren't like, oh, where, you know, they can't tell I'm out because the people, they just
you
show
put the people
up.
In the right place.
Yeah.
In the right seat, doing the right things.
What's a I mean, processes are a big one. So
this was not on here. What? How would you describe your leadership style?
I wish that someone else would describe it.
Maybe we'll phone him in. We can do a little edit.
Yeah, can we call a friend? I don't know. I don't feel like I'm a great leader. I just don't. I feel like I don't manage. I'm like, I'm an interior designer. I don't ever feel like I'm like a great business owner, which I don't know if that's true or not. That's just how I, because I feel like I get, it's like an emotional, I don't know, like they become my friends and not employees, and it's a hard, but I do, I'm also like, y'all, we got to get this. I mean, so I'm like, I don't know. That didn't answer that one well. No, I think. Can we like cut that whole thing? I don't, what type of leader am I? I have no clue.
Well, I think you described like, it though. I think you described it well, where it's like you actually do balance, like pushing them when they have to be pushed, and then also having the friend side of it, and being able to go get margaritas or go to the beach and have a drink if it's a nice afternoon. Like, I have a hard time, and I know talking to other business owners and leaders, they have a hard time towing that line.
Yeah,
because it's hard. You know, and on one end, you're thinking like, well, if I become too close with them, I cross a boundary that may put them in a bad spot, and their production kind of falters.
Right.
And then at the same time, you know, on the other end is like where you're too tough on people, and there's no relational.
Or you're like
side
you
to
wanna
it.
You want to show your humanness and that, and like. Yeah, it's hard. Me and Allie were friends before she started working, so now it's like this best friend culture. And
so you don't have a no hire best friends rule?
No, and everyone says that, but me and her, I mean, sure, there are hard days.
Yeah.
But we have always been like, why do people say that?
Yeah.
Because we go to work, and I mean, it just feels like, yeah, it's hard as poo-poo, but we have fun, and so we look forward. I mean, I see her the most of anyone else in my life, and I don't know. I'm not against, like, hiring a best friend because it's been amazing, and Jennings has now become, like, a close friend, and, yeah, so it's – I feel like we've created an environment of, like, we get stuff done, but we also have fun.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get there, but we did it, I think.
Right, people. Yeah, continually working on it, continually building that culture.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a testament to your leadership. Oh, you may not feel that way.
I don't feel like the best leader, but maybe I'm doing something right. Well, I don't know.
It's better to have the results of a good culture than talk about how to have a good culture.
That's right.
So, well, last question, because I did want to get to this too, is work-life balance. And obviously, health plays into that now, as you spoke about. But you also have two kids that are running around. You guys are building a house.
We're building a house. I mean, everything.
How do you balance all that?
I don't. And so that's what I would love to have someone help me figure out how to do that. I don't, like I said earlier, I mean, I definitely have stepped back some and been like, what do I want my life to look like? Like, life is too short to get so caught up in a business moment. And you look back and now it's been business years that where you've poured, it's been 5 years of like, I didn't see my kids. I was at the office. I didn't do this because I was at the office. And like, that can catch up to you because days turn into months. And I don't know. I just think that I've realized that that's not what I want. Like looking back on my life, I never want it to be like, I did miss my kids. I mean, they're 4 and 7. I don't want to like miss that. And so, not that I never knew this, but now I really know, like, life is more than just a business. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I love it with my whole heart. But, yeah, I would just tell anybody, like, entrepreneurs out there, that starting a business, like, don't let it consume you. Mm-hmm. Like, just, it can't suck life out of you. Mm-hmm. So, I haven't found the balance, but.
Yeah, but you're working towards it.
I'm at least aware of it. You know, people are like, the first step is.
Awareness.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're working on it. Like, I've thought about, you know, coming into the fall, we're coming off of summer hours and days and schedules, and I've thought about, like, having shorter days. Like, maybe our work day is 8 to 3, and we are with our kids. You know, everyone has small kids in our firm. And, you know, maybe, like, why not? We created this business to be able to have that flexibility, and I think it's important to lean on that when you can. So, you know. Clients might see we close at 3 now.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's where we're at.
No, I love that perspective. Yeah. I think it's healthy. There's a balance, just like we talked with all of this. There's a balance to it, but you guys are doing an awesome job. I'm excited to see what you guys do in this next chapter. And
we'll see.
And thanks for coming out and talking with
us. Thank you.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Refining Exchange podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to bringing you the next one.